It's good to see everybody this morning. I hope and pray that all is well with you. I want to welcome those of you that are visiting, members of the body of Christ. We bid you Godspeed. Amen. Not a member, we encourage you to stop and think about your soul salvation. See, you can't have a little talk with Jesus unless you know him.
Right.
And I'm learning that you can think you know him and you not know him.
Right.
The only way you're going to know him is to know whether or not you have done what he has command. The wisest man on the face of the earth said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and round about verse number 13, after he done everything under the sun,
right,
he came to a conclusion what it was all about. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so I don't know about you, I'm just thankful that I'm able to stand once again to proclaim his word. You may look at me with an awe in your mind because he's up here on a crutch,
amen,
foot all twisted and turned around. I'm like, Jesus, don't weep for me, because I understand who's in control of life. Life's beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, turn and tell somebody how beautiful it is. I know this ain't your typical stuff, but tell somebody how beautiful it is. Beautiful day outside. You guys been singing and praising the Lord. God is good. And it's because of the goodness of God. Church, we don't deserve anything. But because God so loved the world, John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And to show you how much he loves Stan, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. And that's what motivates me. That's what drives me to know that the God of heaven looked down the corridor of time and he saw this little old man with a boot on his foot, said he needs salvation.
Amen.
And church, and I don't know about you, I take my relationship to my God very serious, because I'm learning that in the wee hours, when Sister Harmon can only hold my hand and pray and cry, I'm going to need somebody to take me to the other side.
Amen.
And I'm reminded of what he said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And so I want to encourage everyone within the sound of my voice, stop and think about who's really in control of your life. Whether you want to believe it or not, God's in control. And, you know, and the funny thing about God, he has a way of really bringing us around to what he wants us to do.
Amen.
And so this morning, I just want to give you some words of encouragement, church, to remind us as we continue to move forward for the Lord at this locale. Don't lose sight of what this is all about. It's not about but one thing: seeking, saving the lost, and keeping ourselves unspotted from this world. Luke 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And Paul would remind the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul reminds them that it's all about the gospel of Christ. And so he reminds the believers in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, that our conversation, our lifestyle ought to be indicative to what we believe in.
Right.
We ought to live this thing.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll talk to you all in a few minutes. But church, we ought to live it in such a way that the world out there sees a difference. I know the world celebrates the resurrection of Christ, but I celebrate it every first day of the week.
Amen.
Why? Because I have a relationship, and that relationship based upon his word teaches me what I need to do. But this morning, title of the lesson, we are alive to live for somebody else. You didn't know that? You think you're here because you deserve to be? You think God has blessed you to be here this morning? It ain't no accident. You're here because I need to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And that's my job. That's my responsibility. Church, we are alive to save someone else. And the only way they're going to be saved is they got to know the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse number 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Need to understand something. You can be in the house and be lost. Amen. You can think you're right and be just as wrong as you can be. The only way you're going to know whether or not you're right or wrong is you got to examine yourself by the word of God. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, Paul says, examine your neighbor.
Yourself.
Examine the person next to you.
Yourself.
No, examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith. And you know what? I like it because I don't have to prove nothing to you. But if I prove it to God, guess what? It'll be evident to you who I believe in and who I serve. And so Paul says, examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith. Prove to your own self that Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. We are alive to live for others. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. For the next few minutes is where I'll take my text from. And as I look at Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, I can see the attitude that Paul has. You know, Paul was a motivated,
Amen.
Enthused. He motivated everyone he came in contact with. And I believe the reason why is because Paul really understood Jesus Christ. And church, and if there's ever been a time that we ought to be excited about something, beside the one-eyed monster,
Amen.
Beside Jack, Jim, and Johnny,
Amen.
If there's ever been a time we need to be excited, we need to be excited about what we have. We have the power to change lives if it changes our lives. Amen.
Right.
Until it changes our life, you can forget about changing anybody else's. But if we just merely understand the power we have, we can change the lives of those we come in contact with. See, Paul understood something about Jesus. Before I go to our lesson text, Philippians chapter 3. Look at what Paul says about knowing something about Jesus Christ. He says, finally, my brethren, verse number 1, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but it is safe. Beware of dogs. Wonder what kind of dog he's talking about. She answered my question. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. And so Paul says, beware of these individuals. Beware of those individuals that are going to try to pull you back. But Paul's attitude here starts out around about verse number 4. He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, and if any other man thinks he to have confidence, me more so. Circumcised. And so he gives this history, his background. Everybody sitting here thank you something, don't you? Come on, y'all. If you didn't think he was something, you would come here just dressed any old kind of way. You would have any old kind of attitude. We all think we're something. Paul said none of that matters to him. Why? Because Paul want to know Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, he says, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which through faith of Christ, that the righteousness of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. See, church, there's some power knowing about the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
He came and died on a cross that we might live. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. I'm free.
Amen.
And you know, free people act like they're free, don't they?
Yes,
delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That's where most Christians draw the line. We want to suffer, but we don't want to suffer with the fellowship that Christ suffered with.
No.
He suffered in a way that you and I must understand that if we're going to make heaven our home, there's some things we got to give up, is it not?
Amen.
Why are you here this morning? One person, two person serving God.
To learn.
To learn. Okay, I buy that. We're here to hear words whereby It'll motivate us. It'll enthuse us. And it'll help us to understand our mission, our goal, our responsibility. Paul said he wants to know Jesus. He wants to know the power of the resurrection. He wants to know the fellowship of his suffering. And then Paul says something that I know good and well. Most of us don't believe. I want to be found in the conformity of his death. How many want to go to heaven? Amen. How many of y'all ready to die? Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. But Paul says, I want to know all about Jesus Christ. And so as we look at our lesson text for the next few minutes, we have been made alive, and it was for the purpose to help someone else out of darkness into this marvelous light. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1, and you that he quickened. In other words, we're alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, you understand something, children of what? Wrath. But thanks be to God that I'm no longer like that. Amen. I used to be a terrible individual. Don't laugh at me. You probably was too. You just ain't gonna admit it. But God saw fit to clean me up, to wash me up, and to allow me to proclaim his word. Verse number 4 said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, has quickened us, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Very powerful text, because Paul reminds us that you got this way not because you deserve it. Amen. Not because you look so good, and y'all look pretty good out there. Dressed all nicely, smiling. Come on, y'all. I'll leave that alone. But Paul here writes these words to encourage the believer and to remind the believer that you have been made alive because of the blood of Christ. And in the blood of Christ that has washed away all of your sins, he reminds us it is really by the grace of God that we have been saved. I want to encourage us as we continue to move forward at this locale. Stay on track. Stay focused. Don't allow Satan the opportunity. Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 6, your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. He has one purpose. He has but one goal. And guess what? He knows it quite well. So why do we help him out? Why do we help him out? If there's ever been a time that God's people need to come out of the closet, look at the world in which we live in. I fear for our children. I fear for my grandchildren, because we live in a world that is so ungodly. Amen. It has no directions. But I've made up my mind, I'm going to teach them what thus saith the Lord. And that's why the Bible says train him up in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. You have been made alive to help others. Point number 1, alive to help others see the cross. Luke 19, verse number 10, the Bible says he came to seek and to save those that are lost. He reminds us that as children of God, as his servant, our responsibility is to seek and save the lost and to stay unspotted from the world in which we live in. James chapter 1 and round about verse number 25. James says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. See, if you're going to help others, you got to look at yourself. Amen. Amen. I know everybody looks at the preacher, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why you look at the preacher? Because he got to do right regardless, huh? Amen? Amen. Well, what about you? If that was the... Never mind, let me go on. But James said, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all of his deeds. If any among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. See, church, we've been saved for someone else. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do we stay unspotted in a spotted world? Church, you got to let the word of Christ dwell in you. Colossians chapter 3 and round about verse number 1, Paul says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind where? On things above. Isn't that difficult to do? Yeah, it's real difficult, because we live in a world that has instant everything.
That's right.
I like baked potatoes, but now they got instant potatoes. Just put it in this pocket, put it in the microwave, and it's ready to go. Isn't that how you want your religion?
Oh.
Huh? Come on, y'all, be honest with me. It's about 20 minutes to 12, and your time clock says, you need to hurry up. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, but the rest of y'all going on back to sleep. But church, we've been saved, but for one purpose, and that's to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the way we proclaim the gospel is we got to be an example of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12, Paul writes to this young gospel preacher and reminds Timothy, you must be an example. Do we need examples?
Oh, yeah.
See, my example ain't Beyonce.
No, it's not.
Ooh, I know I stepped on a toe or two. My example is Jesus Christ. Why? For the joy, the Hebrew writer says, that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. See, that's my example. And Paul reminds Timothy that if you're going to be effective in your Christian walk, you've got to be an example. Mothers and dads, if you want to raise them kids the right way, hold on to Jesus.
Right.
Let go of me and hold on to Jesus.
Amen.
Because in the final analysis, he's going to show you how to do it. Paul said to young gospel preacher Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. You know what that means? Practice what you preach. Ooh, y'all got quiet on that convo. Church, we need to understand that our example of who we say we are got to be evidence to all. How is the world going to know who we are, church? Huh? Somebody answer me. How the world going to know how we are? Who we are? How we act? John 13, 34 and 35. In case you don't know, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, by what? By the love we demonstrate to one another, the world will know who we are.
Right.
And in that passage of scripture, Jesus gives the world the right to condemn us. Because when they see us fussing and fighting and not loving one another with that agape love, they have the right to say that they're not children of God. Because Jesus says, you'll know my disciples by the love they have for one another.
Amen.
So Paul tells Timothy, you be an example of the believer. How? In word. I don't know about you. I practice what I preach. And if you're going to speak, you need to speak what thus saith the Lord. That's why Paul told Peter, said, 1 Peter chapter 4, round about verse 11 and following. Don't get old. It left me. 1 Peter chapter 4. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplieth, that in all things God might be glorified. So my job is to speak as the oracles of God, is to tell men and women what thus saith the Lord, and to remind those that are in the body, make your calling and election sure. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to follow what's in the book. And if you have not obeyed from the heart the gospel, it's my job, my responsibility to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And so Paul tells Timothy, you be an example of the believer in word, conversation, lifestyle. Lifestyle has to be in harmony with what you believe.
Right.
Not only it must it be in harmony, it's got to have some love in there. In spirit, in faith and purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hand of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, that thy lifestyle is evident to who? Everybody you come in contact with. And I like verse number 16. Because if you don't listen to me, I'm going to do what he said to do. He says, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Church, my job, my responsibility is to remind you, you've been made alive to help someone else to the cross. Point number two, show your living example in your everyday life. Philippians chapter 1 and round about verse number 12, Paul says, work out your own soul salvation. How? In fear and in trembling. Why? For it's God that worketh in you. See, God don't go to work till you go to work.
That's right.
Yeah. How many of y'all go to work and don't go to work?
Yeah.
But as soon as the boss come around, you do what? You go to work. You understand that, don't you? God is not going to work in our lives until we go to work and seeking and saving the lost. And when we go to work and seeking and saving the lost, guess what God will do? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. God will give the increase. And so I want to encourage you as this year starts to and continues to unfold. Stay on track. Don't allow Satan to cause you to stray from the truth. Paul said, it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Verse number 14 says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Boy, how many of y'all got an excuse in your pocket this morning? Okay, pass the tray around. We're going to take all y'all excuses away. How many of y'all like to murmur? Oh, come on, y'all. Yeah. I know we ain't that perfect. But Paul says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Why? Verse number 15 says, that you might be blameless, without harm, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And the final point, we are God's workmanship, created for his purpose. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, I don't know who told us or where we got this idea. You can come when you feel like it. I don't know who told us that. Or you can just do whatever you want to do and it's pleasing to God. No, we have been created for purpose. We're God's workmanship. And the whole purpose of his workmanship in us is to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. And church, if that don't motivate you, if that don't drive you, check your pulse, because you might not be here. Ephesians chapter 2, round about verse number 8. The Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, for it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God created us for a purpose. And finally, we're alive. But the question is, are you alive? See, if you're alive, you'll show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. And you know what makes us alive? Is our obedience to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated. When did he deliver us? When I heard his word, Romans 10, 17. When I believe what I read, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
The Bible says we must repent of our sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your neighbor, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he's the Son of God. Of a living God. And you know, to those of us who are members of the body, that's an ongoing confession.
Amen.
That is something we confess every day of our lives. He is alive and well because you can see him in us.
That's right.
But the true test of that is when they push the wrong button. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men, and I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible teaches that we must be buried in water for the remission of our sin. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then he adds us to the body, which is the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 22, and Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 18. Are you alive or are you like Rover? Just dead all over. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ want to remind you and encourage you, make your calling and election sure. Amen. And the only way you're going to make your calling and election sure, there's some things you're going to have to do. And if you do them, I guarantee you just what the Bible says, you will never fall. Oh, don't look at me funny. It's in your Bible. You didn't know that? Okay, let me show you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and round about. Hold on a second. That's not the one I want. Besides this, add to your faith virtue. Somebody help me out. Help me out. Y'all can help me out? Okay. I'll help myself out. 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay. I'm in Peter, but look at verse number 3. He says, according to his divine power, has given unto us what? All things. If God has given us everything, what's our problem? Not what we want, huh? According to his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, what? Give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, right, what did he say? It'll make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And then he says, wherefore the rather, brother, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what did he say? Never fall. That's what drives me. That's what motivates me. When you turn your back, I stay with Jesus. When the world say I can't, I can. And that's the attitude I believe every child of God needs to have. I hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. We're alive.
Amen.
You know, and every time I say that, it reminds me of the old black and white Frankenstein movie. Oh, yes. Frankenstein got excited.
Amen,
Walt. Amen. He had put it all together. And guess what? God has put us all together. Amen. He translated us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has placed us in the body of Christ, which is the church. We're alive.
Amen.
And boy, when Frankenstein saw the lightning hit him, he's alive. He's alive. Church, that's how we ought to be, because we have a spirit in us that's alive.
Amen.
And as long as you let go and let the spirit guide you, God will take you to the levels that you can't even imagine. I want to remind those of us who are members of the body of Christ, if you've fallen short of the glory of God, repent. Just that simple. Repent, get on the right track. And if you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed from the heart the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, you've heard the word of God. The question is, do you believe it? The water's ready, I'm ready. Well, somebody's ready. And we will put you into Christ Jesus. Whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of